Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of So Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mindshifters Radio with Dr. Michael Rice. Our calling number is 646-200-4169. Press 1 and that puts you in queue to talk to us. We'd love to hear your comments and your questions. Welcome, Michael, to the show.
Thank you, sweetie. Got a rainy day here in Birmingham, Alabama. Getting down to the last 3 workshops, and then we'll be off to Heartland for the summer season. And if you're in Birmingham, Alabama, come and join us tonight. Our work, of course, together is interesting in the ancient languages. When people came together to do their work together, it was called liturgy. That became something about going to church, where, in fact, the word means our common work. And that's what we're here to support you in. This is liturgy. This is about our common work. And what's our common work? A common work is the work of healing ourselves, each other, and the planet. Getting out of the insanity of the game of hostility and fear and reclaiming our human lives. And I had the thought today of talking about the game of fear and how it contributes to this whole world of strife and conflict and what never belonged in a human system. And, you know, the idea and our invitation to you is to become part of the team that changed the world, part of the team that lives at such a level of responsibility for everything going on inside of them that they tolerate no hostility or fear in themselves and therefore become healers of war. We're looking to eliminate war. We're looking to create a safe space on planet Earth for human life to show up. And the main tool that we're using to produce that result is the tool of forgiveness. Forgiveness, as it was taught in the original Aramaic, pardon me, has nothing to do with I let you off the hook for what's happening inside of me. Forgiveness is the tool with which I go inside of me and change the dynamic of hostility or fear within me, remove that, and live as a true human being. So that's what we're looking to do, is to produce that result in our world. And if we live in fear, then what happens is whenever it's active, and the way you activate it is with your words, you're stuck in those two awful eternities of past and future. And when you're stuck in those two awful eternities and your words come from your past instead of from conscious being, from who you are as a human being, and our definition of a human being is easy. It's hold a newborn child. When you hold a newborn child, you know exactly what human life is. If you're not functioning out of your human life, then you're speaking your words from past. And there's an interesting quote in James that says, the tongue defiles the whole body. It sets on fire the course of nature. Powerful words. It sets, the words you use set on fire the course of nature. And if you speak your words from your past, from your sad, hurt, pained experiences, then you just set on course nature and told nature, this is what needs to happen to me again. And so being stuck in those two awful eternities where the past and the words from the past and the hostilities and fears from the past become the future, instead of facing the truth in yourself that this is my hostility, this is my fear, you simply set on course nature and produce it again and again and again. To recognize the truth that when I speak words based in hostility or fear, and I think I'm dissing somebody else or what somebody else did, the truth is I'm just speaking from my own store of words, and I'm projecting that dissing act onto someone else. But the one I'm really dissing is me. And when I make the past my future, being stuck in those two eternities, I don't get to live in the presence where the act of love is available. I get to live in my suffering, and I recreate my past suffering in the present. If you think of the situations where you have things like anger, hatred, resentment, what if you were absolutely incapable of any form of resentment? And many people would say, well, that would mean I wouldn't care. No, wouldn't mean you wouldn't care. It would mean you'd be free of resentment. What if you couldn't have a conversation out of resentment? What if every word you spoke came from your higher self, your higher being, that awesome active presence of love, instead of from some past resentment? If you were to heal that resentment, if you were to take responsibility and stop projecting it and pretending that it's about some circumstance in your life, and that it's not about what's gone on in your multi-generational database and in your past and is part of what goes on in your family system, if you were actually to take responsibility, then we'd forgive those things, and then we could show up with real caring. Because real caring, instead of being a complaint about somebody else and what somebody else does, it would mean we would not project past suffering onto the future, and we'd be empowered to truly care and to act with charity and love in every situation and not be in a dis-ease state in ourselves, which we deny and with our words blame somebody else for. Our tool for producing that result is a tool called forgiveness. Every time your physiology produces some form of resentment, hostility, fear, grief, rage, pain, if you stop and you say, this is something in my physiology. Where did my human life go? Again, if you want to check out what a human life is, imagine holding a newborn child. That's what you're designed to live in. No other conversation is possible for the human. Well, what about all the terror? Yeah. And all the conversations that you have set in motion, all the terrible things. Well, what do you mean, Michael? Well, go back and read James 3. It's pretty powerful. The tongue defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. In other words, you create what happens in your life with your words. What if all of your words came from your true human beingness and you forgot all the hostilities, fears, and grievances of the past and simply lived as a human being? Well, then people could do terrible things. That's right. People could do terrible things. But you know something? You wouldn't be setting those terrible things on fire. You wouldn't be setting the course of nature in the direction of bringing those terrible things to you. You'd be done with it, and you move on with a true human life. So that's what we're here to support you in. And if that conversation makes sense, awesome. If it doesn't make sense, then pick up the phone and call us, 646-200-4169. And we would love to have a chat with you about the principles and the tools we're teaching. If you're not familiar with the forgiveness tool that we've spoken about, we invite you to go to our website, www.whyagain.com. And on the right-hand side, you'll see a link that says Download Worksheets. Click on that link. The first seven links in that section will give you the whole forgiveness story, the how-to of removing from your mind every word, every thought, every feeling, every conversation that comes from resentment, hostility, or fear, and being done with setting nature on fire to bring it to you again. So that's where we're heading. And, Jeannie, do we have any callers? Is Dr. Tim with us? Is David with us? Any of the Heartland crew? Anything happening in the chat room?
Dr. Tim is with us. David is not. And there's nothing going on in the chat room.
Okay. Dr. Tim, how are you this afternoon? Hello, Dr. Tim. Jeannie, can you hear me all right? Jeannie?
I can hear you. I can hear you fine. I can hear you fine.
Okay.
He is on.
Okay. Well, then we'll just assume he's probably away at his computer or somebody's called on the other line or something. So anyway, welcome, everybody. We're delighted to be here to support you. We're delighted to be here to learn the deepest nuances of the forgiveness process and to bring forward a whole different game on planet Earth, a game where it's safe for human life to show up, a game where we truly, truly live as human beings. And we let go of everything that's less than that awesome active presence of love that we are designed to function out of. And if you have a question for us, our phone number is 646-200-4169. I'm looking out the window here in Birmingham, Alabama, and it's pouring rain. Awesome, beautiful rain happening.
Michael?
Yes, sir. How do you be?
I'm all right. I thought you might have been throwing it over to me, but I had to take a call there temporarily.
That's kind of what I thought, but I was just asking how you're doing and how your day was going and if you have anything to share with us today.
Well, we're doing very well here. We're jealous of your rain. We're a lot of people out here crying because their fields are getting plowed under because the corn has no substance to it without any water. But other than that, we're doing very well. And I was enjoying your unique take on your intro today. And it was stirring in me how the more we do this work and work with other people, the more it stirs in us different ways to think about and talk about the work we're doing and the importance of simply taking full responsibility for not ever saying or doing anything to hurt another human being, to be in that space that you would be in if you were in the mindset of the infant, the newborn. And so I was just enjoying your intro and letting that sink in. And,
that statement from James that it sets on fire the course of nature. And as you recognize that, you look back and just what you bring up about the rain, that we're told that we have a part to play in how the very skies operate and that we can create disturbances. We, being a part of this energy system called Earth, which NASA scientists have determined is a living being, that we have a part to play. We're the nervous system of the planet. And when we're out of harmony, when we're not bringing in the energies that we're designed to bring in, which obviously is this awesome active presence of love, we create a disturbance in the field, the energy field. And, you know, when you look at this idea of how much trauma is going on the earth right now, and one of the ancient Aramaic physics quotes is one that says, if you're in harmony with the way the energy system works, which is called the laws, not that you're obedient to anything, but you know how the laws operate, and you know that law just happens. It's got nothing to do with obedience to some superior being. It's just law happens. Then what you get is rain in due season. And if you're out of harmony with love, with your true nature, what you're designed to bring into the earth, you literally set up a fire in nature. You set up a disturbance in the natural order of things, and you create problems, literally, in the earth. You look at the amount of craziness that's going on with the weather around the country and around the globe, and you see a reflection, I believe, of the insanity of the lack of human life on the planet. And as the insanity grows, so does the calamity. We're so much more powerful than ever we've been taught to believe. We have the ability to create disturbances in this atmosphere that have the potential to destroy us. And we have the ability to rectify that. And to me, that's one of the reasons for doing this work.
Yeah, and the work they've done with the HeartMath group and Greg Braden and some others who have mapped electromagnetic fields globally, and seen the different response patterns that at times of global Are you there?
Somebody has tremendous noise going on the phone. Michael, I'm not sure if you're moving around or... Hello?
Excuse me, that was me. I thought my mute button was on and I was making a smoothie. My mistake.
It's a tremendous noise.
Yeah, I apologize. I thought my mute button was on while you were talking, Tim, and I made the mistake of pushing the button on my blender.
Okay, well, just saying that they have measurements that have measured the electromagnetic field at different times, and the tremendous change they see at times when great disasters have happened, and things like the 9/11 attack and the tsunami in Japan, and it's a change in the electromagnetic field that's caused by all of the minds on the planet being focused on this news event, on this, you know, either a glorious event or a tragic event. And so we definitely do influence our environment in ways that we're just now beginning the tip of understanding. And so that's why I think we can't say it enough, we can't stress it too strongly, that the work of each of us is to look inside and find anything that's less than love and remove it. And that's getting rid of the bushel basket that hides our light, and the world needs the light that is within each of us.
Absolutely. There was some research being done by a Canadian group several years ago, and there's a thing called the Schumann resonance, which is a field that the planet puts off, or at least it's thought to be that, and I used to think that. And it happens to be the same frequency as the rhythm of the movement of the bones of the head, the spine, and the pelvis. And it's like a matching frequency. And I used to think that the earth, you know, the fact that we grew up out of the earth, that the earth put off this energy and it ran what happened in our structures. But back a few years ago, there was a time period where they couldn't measure, they couldn't find this Schumann resonance. It had disappeared. And they started doing some research and they found that there was one place where they could measure this Schumann resonance. And that was if they went to a large sporting event where, you know, tens of thousands of people were gathered and the home team scored. And when the home team scored, all of a sudden, that Schumann resonance was available. And what that clicked in my brain was, you know, from a physics point of view is, we didn't grow up out of the earth and we're built out of this frequency. We're the antenna on the earth that's designed to bring this frequency into the earth. And when we go out of harmony with the aliveness and the joy, when we go into our resentment, our hostility, our fear, we distort that antenna and we bring in a different set of frequencies. We are designed in this system to keep the earth in harmony. And if we go out of harmony, the earth's in trouble. Take a look around at how far out of harmony. Take a look at, you know, I mean, I forget how many thousands of atomic blasts have been fired off on this in this planet in the last century. You look at over 200 million people have been murdered in war in this last century. We're a long way out of harmony with our human beingness. There's an organized system of insanity that keeps people locked into their hostility or fear and thinking that their hostility and fear is right and justified. And, of course, it's all about somebody else. It's not about me. It's not about my genetics. It's not about my generations. It's about them. Well, if you're physiologically capable of resentment, hostility, or fear, And, you know, this is a huge, huge conversation, a huge piece of work to say, oh, my goodness, I have to get to the point where someone like the high priest servant could come to me and be ready to mercilessly torture me and kill me, and I need to maintain my human life? Well, if you want to live a human life, yes, that's your job. Well, but, gee, you know, what about when they... carbon-based memory can come up with a million whatabouts to pretend that what it's producing has nothing to do with it, that it's fully justified and it's all somebody else's fault. You know, it's a huge order. This man, Yeshua, is not an easy dude to pick up after and follow. He says, there are laws by which the Creator governs the universe. The first law goes like this. You maintain your human life. When you think of neighbor, you mean that neighbor that offended me? Well, actually, your neighbor didn't offend you, but if you had offense, you could pretend it was your neighbor's fault that you were feeling offended. Well, you mean that neighbor I resent because they didn't do this the way I wanted them to? Well, you could say that your resentment is about the fact that your neighbor didn't do that, but your resentment isn't about the fact your neighbor didn't do that or did do this. It's about the fact that in you is resentment. And strength to strength, here a little, there a little, you work through piece after piece after piece of the non-human insanity that we've had born and bred in us. You clean it up. And you actually bring forward a human life. Then real human life begins on planet Earth. One of my early mentors used to say that all it would take would be 8 humans on the planet at a time. And the whole loaf would be leavened. The whole thing would change. So, hey, let's try it. Let's each work toward being one of the 8 and seeing what result that produces. Going to be a different game. It's one that hasn't shown up on the planet for a long, long time. So, gee, do we have any callers? Anything happening in the chat room? Anything exciting?
There's only one guest in the chat room today. There's several on the switchboard. Nobody has their hand up. If you're on the switchboard and you want to speak, press 1. That puts you in queue. David is with us now, so I've got him turned on.
Hey there, sir. Do you have anything to share with us today?
Oh, you hear the bell?
I do. Lunch must be on.
It's kind of tough not to
lunch
hear.
Time.
Can you hear me?
I can, yes.
Anyway, I don't know if you can hear me. I just walked up and rang the bell. Hello.
Okay, we got you. I can hear you, David. I can hear the bell in the background.
Okay. Well, just putting things together, you know, how it is with getting the intensive ready. So just listening in right now.
Cool. Awesome. Well, glad to hear your voice. Glad you're listening in. I talked to Julia a little while ago, and she sounds like she's anticipating arriving around 5 o'clock or so. I gave her your number. So she'll be in touch with you as she pulls in. And
yes,
getting ready. I say again.
I did speak with her.
Great.
Yeah. So we're connected, and the only and Nancy has been picked up, and also you know, waiting to hear from the other couple that's coming on the
Michael and Margaret.
I'm waiting to hear from Michael and Margaret. And what's the other couple's name?
The couple. Daniel and Susan.
Okay. So haven't heard them.
They should probably get in mid to late afternoon, I respect, unless they stop somewhere. But
okay.
They left here. They left here fairly early this morning. Okay, cool.
All right.
Fabulous.
We're awaiting everyone's arrival, and we'll I talked with Ari, and he's in a little traffic, and he'll be here evening as well, so it will all come together this evening.
Fabulous. Well, anybody that is listening, if you were tapped into the conversation we've been having so far, would you have any questions for us, any thoughts? If we were sitting in a room face-to-face,
We have
what
two
would
hands
be
up.
The thought you? Oh, let's listen.
Area code 541, you're on the air.
Hello, it's Julie from Ashland, Oregon. Hello.
Hey there, young lady. How are you?
Good, really good. I loved what you were talking about today. And I'm so looking forward to being joined with everyone in the liturgy at hand. It reminds me of the Course in Miracles where the curriculum is laid out, you know, and basically you get to choose how and when, but the curriculum remains the same regardless. So I'm in the loop for getting the curriculum more established firmly in me and establishing it and extending it further in the world. So I'm excited. Now, I have one big perplexing thing that I just don't get. Just one thing, that's all. And that
oh,
is
well,
I hate
you.
My friend Ed is dealing with a body condition that most would be cancer. And he doesn't seem to think he needs to process any of this sort of thing that we are, you know, recognizing. And he insists that he can go directly to being anytime he chooses, just through meditation. And so I know he does that, you know, and that's how he gets around the mind. You know, he's doing it from trying to get away from the mind that we all are trying to clear out also. But I just don't see it really working. Like there's just this piece missing that I've never been able to articulate well enough for him, you know, or for, you know, I mean, he just, with all the brain cells he's got, he doesn't want to hear those brain cells. And so I just don't get it. I mean, if I saw results, if I saw him really healing his body tissues, I would say his mindset works for him. And everybody's
right.
Trying to allow him to do his process, and, you know, and I'm sure he's getting a lot out of his lessons. But I think that the body is going to go before he actually can turn it around. And I, you know, I don't know what to say or do about that except he can have his process. You know, so
well, you know, I was quoting from James earlier, and one of the things that James says is stop your denial. And we can use something like meditation. It actually, over the years, with people who are, you know, professional meditators, people who really are focused on and meditate a lot, I've watched them. And they use meditation to drug themselves, to avoid what's going on inside of them. They go out into the world. They go out into the world, and they create chaos. And then they use meditation to retreat from the chaos and not have to deal with it. So they go off in their corner, I'm meditating, and see, I feel good now. And they turn around, and they go off, and they create more chaos, and they run off and drug themselves with meditation and anesthetize themselves against the chaos and the pain of the chaos. And they're using meditation as a drug instead of what it's designed for, and that is to connect to the direct presence of love. And the way that you can tell, you know, they ask Yeshua, well, how do you tell where somebody's really at? And I sort of hear that as your question. Well, how do you tell whether this is really working or this is really true or not? And he said, you look at the fruit. If the fruit isn't changing, then the tool isn't working.
Yeah.
So, you know, I would invite you to maybe send a link to this show to Ed and ask him if he'd be willing to listen. And I've had the conversation with him about doing some worksheets and doing his work. But, you know, because we can hum and avoid, it doesn't mean we're healing. And if the tissue structure isn't changing, then the healing isn't occurring.
Yeah. And he's settling for having good days and bad days. But I just think the bad days are getting scarier. It's progressing. And, you know, and then he kind of hangs out in I don't know, you know, that's his way of surrendering, you know, to something greater that's in charge of everything. But he's just not actively participating at this level where, since he's putting so much effort into somewhat active participation, you would think he would try everything. And you know what he did? I guess early on with the worksheets, he got this impression that they were more about people who were at the level of being angry and blaming and pointing the finger, and they didn't know the technique or skill of looking inward at what I'm just reflecting to me. And so he thinks that he has all those skills, and therefore the worksheets are for a whole different level of people. And that's got to be the most arrogant, egoic, you know, take on
things. Be careful now. There may be some projection in that.
Well, I'm just saying that any ego can project from its level of knowing. So,
yes.
You know, so you kind of have to keep humbling yourself to, well, there's the next level, the next layer of, you know, what's yours to work on. There's always something else. And, you know,
The great trickster leaves us stuck in denial. And there is no greater power that's in charge of everything. The greater power that's in charge of everything said to you, you have a domain. You tell me what you want. And it's up to you to open the part that holds what you have at some point in the past, out of an hostile or fearful mind, said that you wanted and then closed off from awareness. The Creator cannot violate your choice. That choice is sacred. Once you make it, it's yours to keep or give away. But if you refuse to look inside of yourself and change the choices from the past, then the Creator can't go in and change that for you.
Yeah.
It's your domain.
Yeah. And so what we're really trying to clean up is, I forget exactly how you put it in the beginning of the show, but those sparks that we ignite motion in the universe, and we create with our creator energy, and need to become aware of what we've set in motion, our part in it, that we can now remove. I mean, that is such a huge shift that I ever knew. I mean, I thought we were stuck and we had to fix things, but this is just simply removing, using our creator energy to say that was then and this is now. but you got to really say it. You have to really get in there. You can't just say it, know it, you know, and surfacely experience it, you know, because that's the small amount of awareness that will take place, and it goes away soon. It disappears soon. So the deeper
several
we go.
Several decades ago, was a popular song, and it went like this: wishing and hoping and praying and planning. Once you tuck away and deny and dissociate from something, and it's done primarily with words, and you enter into denial. In the same passages where James talks about stop your denial, that's where he talks about the power of words and that it defiles the whole body. Literally, the frequencies we bring in with our words defile the whole body. And then we go into denial and refuse to use the tool to reopen that part of the structure, and the structure remains defiled. And you can sit around and you can wish and hope and plan and pray all you want that will happen, and it's not going to happen until you say, I'm going to make a different choice. And the different choice isn't, well, I think I'll be well now. The different choice is, if what's in my genetic bloodline is rage over ABC, whatever it is, and I've bought into that and I've played the game of rage over ABC, and then denied and dissociated from that rage, I need to reopen that part of my mind that holds that rage and let it go in order to heal. Otherwise, I can expect it to be showing up in my tissue structure as my disease. And until and I haven't met anybody yet that's at the level where they don't have any forgiveness work to do. I think it's a game of denial to say, oh, no, well, I've already done all that. I'm at a different level.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you don't have that kind of disorder going on if you're at a different level, but you can pretend so.
Mm-hmm. Until it kills you, too.
Until
or
you,
your body.
No, it can't kill you until you
yeah.
kill yourself with it.
Yeah, exactly. And that's
go back to the ancient physiological language, Aramaic, and they said, with man, death began. We made the process up. The minute we defiled our temple, the minute we turned this thing, which was meant to be a temple of love, remember, and it was said in a language that sounds kind of strange today to many people, but that do you not know that you are the temple of God? You're designed to be in the presence of love. And when we defile the temple, we initiate frequencies that don't belong. And when we stay in denial, we think every time that frequency comes up, it's about something outside of us. Well, boy, if Charlie had just taken care of this property, if Harry had just done that, well, if he would just, if she would, if they would, if it, or if I would have just been perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all the way to stay in denial and dissociation. The genius of what Yeshua gave us in the forgiveness process, in that reality management worksheet process, is so profound when you start to apply it, and you're literally going in and removing the slightest irritation. You know, there's a great line in the Course in Miracles that says, the slightest irritation is the cover for the deepest rage. And when we live in the pretense that all is well when it's not, we literally initiate our own death.
Wow. And it, you know, and it just takes root, and it's slow because, of course, we might have some fluctuations of awareness and we might clean things up along the way. But if we've set something in motion really deep and a long time ago and still unconscious, you know, then it shows up and we get to be unconscious about where did this come from? I don't deserve this, you know. This is genetic, you know, it's DNA, and oh, people just
and
want
if it's
to
genetic
be...
and DNA,
yeah.
If it's genetic and DNA, then it's in me, and now it's mine.
Mm-hmm.
If I allow it to guide my behavior, then I will fall into the folly of my generations. If I choose to break that cycle by forgiveness and enter back into relationship with love, then I am not stuck with the errors of the generations. They don't run me. What runs me is my active relationship with the Creator, and my words don't contain hostility or fear because my words come directly from my relationship with love.
Yeah. And then we change how we speak, you know, and we don't initiate the toxicities anymore.
Exactly.
Our tongue has changed. What? Where is that in James that you quoted today?
I think it's 3:6, I believe it is.
Oh, okay. That'd be good.
3:6, there's a whole section and it talks about the power of the tongue and how much of a challenge it is to overcome it.
Yeah. So,
and I suspect... Mm-hmm. I suspect that James did not really understand the power of the forgiveness work that Yeshua taught, because James says the tongue can't be changed. With Yeshua's forgiveness, it absolutely can be changed. And
yeah.
It's a deep piece of work to do.
Yeah.
So we hold the space for you.
Yeah, thank you.
We hold the space for you, and we anticipate seeing you in about, 11 or 12 days from now. That'll be awesome. And we certainly hold the space for Ed, and I'll give Ed another call and say hi and see if I can cajole him into doing worksheets again.
Yeah, talk at a different level so he doesn't think it's He's above it all. Yeah, that'd be great if you could. And I'm there now with him. I can do them with him, too. So,
cool.
I wanted to say one quick thing, if you don't have someone else, that the idea about the earth being a living being and a living body and a living consciousness, I've really, since I've taken on your work, and I had a hunch about it before, I really see every body as an extension of my body. You know, so, you know, my body is an extension of my consciousness. And so the more I clean it up from wherever I truly am in my core, everything out there will shift. And
exactly.
So it's good that science is measuring these things and has data and evidence about what we have thought we've known. So now why would we not take different actions and be the remedy, you know?
Because
it's a huge responsibility.
We don't have the brain cells. If you knew it, you'd do it. You can know it in your head. You can know it in your head. You can spout the words, but on the level where control happens, which for most people is at the unconscious level, they don't have a clue. There, you know, you look back again where they understood the power of words, and it says, your words come from the abundance of your heart. That word heart today in our modern language would be the unconscious. Your words come from what you've accumulated in your unconscious dynamics. And so take care of the conversation, take care of the heart, for out of it are the issues in life. You've got to be willing to look at that and what those issues are. And as you do, and you forgive, you remove those issues, and you create a different issue. That is, you give birth to a different experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so in that respect, those of us who do this work, and there are others doing their work, you know, we just get to live at the level we get to live. Whatever work we do, that's how we plot our new ground. And plant our seeds and grow our garden.
Yes.
So, okay. Well, I'll let you go. I'm
all right, blessings.
Thank you. You
blessings,
too.
Blessings, and we'll be in touch. See you in a couple of weeks. Take care. Bye-bye.
Right.
Travel
Bye-bye.
Safely.
You too. Thank you.
And we have two more callers. Area code 954, you're on the air.
954, welcome to the show. Where are you calling from? Who are we speaking to?
Hi, Michael and Deanie. This is Patricia in Fort Lauderdale.
Well, hey, young lady. I just about called you before the show. You were on my mind and on my list to call and say hi. See how you were doing.
Very nice. Thank you. Thank you for thinking of me. Well, I'm really excited knowing that the folks are preparing to come up to Heartland, and I'm looking forward to hearing feedback from that experience, since I've never been too intensive there yet. I was talking to Margaret on the phone for quite a while the other day, like an hour, and I know they're very excited. So, yeah, you're all in my thoughts, too. And I didn't get to share last week, but briefly I wanted to share about how the work has been helping me improve a relationship with my mom. Just I haven't shared the worksheets with her yet, but just with me doing the worksheets and changing myself, it just affects my energy when I approach her or when she's talking to me. Just because of the shift in the energy, I've been able to observe a significant difference, and just not being like on the defense when she comes to speak with me. And we have had some really nice conversations over the last couple of weeks that I don't remember talking to her like that in years. And I know that it's because of the work, because actually when I came home from my first intensive and I was so hopeful, and she made a comment to me that she had given up being close to me years ago, and I was so shocked because I wasn't aware of that. And I remember, you know, some pain came up in me when I heard her say that, but then I was like, no, I'm not giving up, because now I have a new tool and I'm going to test this out and see how it works. And it has been working, so I can only imagine the progress that could be made once I get to a point where I can actually sit down and do a worksheet with her and show her how to do it. So that's been really exciting for my life, to just see how that's unfolding, because that's a relationship that has been strained probably for, I want to say, over 20 years, really, if I go back to the beginning. So I just wanted to share that because it's pretty, it's special to me.
That's very powerful. And, you know, you talk in terms of the changes, and the changes are a result of having built some new brain cells. And, you know, when I was talking with Julie, I had the thought at one point, and then we got off on another conversation. But, you know, one of the reasons why we don't choose what we know we could be doing is because we don't have, on a deep enough level, the brain cells to understand the impact of a different choice and to make that different choice. You know, you've probably heard me use the example of, you know, we bring a dog into the room and we have two plates on the floor, and one of them's got an ounce of gold and one of them's got a pound of hamburger. And the dog has a choice. The dog could choose the ounce of gold or the hamburger. But we all know that there isn't a dog in the world that's going to walk in the room and walk over to the ounce of gold and pick it up and walk out with it. Even though if it had the brain cells, it would understand that it could go out and buy, you know, probably 1,500 pounds of hamburger with that ounce of gold. It will eat the pound of hamburger and leave the other alone, because it has no brain cells to recognize the value of it. If we've been brought up in a generational system that's based in fear, that's dissed us and driven us into the ground and caused us to feel worthless and hostile and afraid and resentful and have a million places to project that, well, I'm only resentful because of this, I'm only angry because of that, all of that is denial and dissociation. And so when we get new information in our heads, it's kind of like the dog that walks in the room. It could glance over at the ounce of gold, but the overwhelming urge is to fill its belly with that pound of hamburger. If we could get the brain cells to the point where they were firing on a high enough level, there's no dog in the world that would pick the hamburger over the ounce of gold. And as you start to introduce forgiveness to people, when the stress is up and the chips are down, what happens is the old brain cells kick in, fire, and that becomes what drives our function. Until you've reinforced them enough and had the experience of going, ooh, I think I'll take this ounce of gold instead of the hamburger. It's really not a choice. I mean, we can intellectually say we know about it, but it's really not a choice, because denial and dissociation is what we have the brain cells for. No blame. No, I don't deal with things. I keep them hidden. No, I don't look inside me where my disease processes are going on. I just, you know, look out into the outer world and live in positive thinking. Well, in my book, I refer to that as a disease of premature positive thinking. If there's something going on in your world that is not healthy for you, then stop pretending that all is well and acknowledge to yourself that something isn't well. And I need to look there and I need to clean it up. And, you know, that's the work.
Well, yeah, thank you for explaining that in such detail. And it's just, I wanted to stress again, it's so exciting to see. Like, I think I'm at the point now where the worksheets are actually working, because the brain cells have been built, so now it's not a choice anymore, where in the past it was kind of like, you know how you have those certain people who could just look at you or say a word and bring you to the other side, away from love, in a matter of a second. And that's, you know, that's how that relationship has been. But now it's just kind of, it's natural for me not to go there anymore and approach her in a spirit of love, and it really diffuses things a lot now between us and has opened up the communication. So it's kind of like I'm still doing the worksheets, but I'm seeing the fruit now. That's what's so exciting about it and why I wanted to share it with everyone today. So amazing.
Awesome. Awesome. And you might just look at the subtle language, because there's another little level of shift in there that will be helpful.
Okay.
When you say, when somebody can do this and they can bring me to the other side, the truth is nobody can bring you out of love. It's not possible for anybody else to do that. And when you just do that subtle shift, because your words are key, when you do that subtle shift in language to, when somebody shows up and brings up or resonates the part in me with which I lose my connection to love, then I do my work. Then you come to still another level of being able to see your responsibility, what needs to be healed,
right,
and what needs to move
through. Yes, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. And I'm still working on that part.
Of course, we
all
are. That's why
still working on the language. Yeah, but I do know that there is a change, and I'm so excited and grateful about it. And may I just take a second to mention too that tonight we are resuming the Fort Lauderdale group at 7 o'clock, and that's going to
awesome.
Be at our regular space, which is the Urban Namaste Studio in Fort Lauderdale, and that's at 915 Northeast 20th Street. So I hope that anyone who's listening, if you're local and you'd like to come out and join us, we welcome you to learn with us.
Fort Lauderdale
at the UC schools. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Michael.
Fabulous. All right. Thanks for your call. Blessings. Appreciate your
blessings
input.
Blessings to you. Okay.
Fabulous.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay, so our other caller has hung up. They hung up. If you're still on the line, press 1. It'll put you back in queue. And we've got about 7 minutes left.
Cool. Anything happening in the chat room?
No, there's not.
Okay. Well, Dr. Tim, do you have anything to add to the conversation at this point? I know that you've had several patients in your office that have had lots of physical symptoms, and as soon as they enter into the physical the forgiveness process, that you just watch their aches, their pains, their disorders disappear. So, I just wonder if you have any thoughts in that regard.
Well, and it's not just my patients; it's myself. You know, I had an incident back in 1988 where I fell and cracked a vertebra in my back, and then the MRIs show that disc above and below it are quote shot unquote, and
mm-hmm.
I've had all kinds of different episodes of back pain and injury and near immobilization for years after that, until I finally got to work with a physical therapist that helped me rehab it. But it left me in a position where, and the neurosurgeons told me that you're gonna be miserable with back pain your whole life. You're just gonna have to go to your physical therapist and chiropractor when it flares up and stay off your feet and do all this. And they just said this is basically a life sentence. And
that
so
a lot, Mel.
Yeah. And so over the years, for a number of years before encountering this kind of work, the energy work that I do, and then eventually your work, I would have flare ups and put the ice packs and the heat packs and stay off my feet for a while and then go to the chiropractors and get some treatments. And it would go on for weeks. And over the past 10 years or so, 12 years, I've learned some energy techniques and the worksheet process. And now I know when I have a flare-up of back pain, it might be triggered by my doing something physical, but the underlying cause is always, if it doesn't heal up in a day or two, it's because I've got an emotional residue or blockage in there. And if I don't deal with that, I'll be doing ice packs and cold and stretching and exercises for weeks before I limp back into what I would call relative health. And if I do the emotional work, it's gone in a day or two.
Yeah.
And seemingly miraculously disappeared. And it's happened on a number of distinct, probably four, maybe five episodes in the past 8 years. And each time I do some breathing, some tapping, some worksheets, and by the next day, it's almost completely gone. And by the second or third day, I forget that I had a back problem.
Right.
It's like Dr. Sarno says, you know, he's, you quote him as saying that all back pain is unconscious rage. It's the cover up for an unconscious rage.
Yeah. Yeah, and what he says is the brain uses the opportunity of what appears to be injury as cause to play out what it otherwise keeps hidden. And that when we start to clean that up, of course, the whole game begins to change. And we're here to support everybody in cleaning it up and changing the game. And, of course, the reason why we say that is because we know from a scientific point of view that there's nothing physical, that what we live in is an energy body. We don't live in a physical body. And when we begin to work with and decipher our challenges through the eyes of energy, it just becomes a whole different game, a whole different process happens at that point. So that's what we're here to learn and to understand together and to support each other in moving through. And, you know, again, go back, James had such a clear understanding and outlook on that when he said, the tongue defiles the whole body. Watch your words. If they're based in hostility or fear, then enter into forgiveness. Are you to blame for that? Is that, you know, are you guilty? Are you at fault? No, that's all just old manipulative stuff. Let go of the whole blame game, the guilt, the fault blame. You're not guilty. You're not at fault. You're not to blame. You're totally and completely innocent, and you've been doing it to yourself. You clean it up. You do something different to yourself. So that's what we're here to understand. And if you're not familiar with that conversation, I invite you to go to www.whyagain.com. On the right-hand side, there's a link that says Download Worksheets. That worksheet link will give you the whole story of how the forgiveness process works. And we invite you to engage in that process. Put the pen to the paper. As you put the pen to the paper, there are several radio shows where we've walked somebody through a whole worksheet step by step, and we invite you to, as you begin to do the worksheet process yourself, to simply pick up the phone and call us if you have a question, if there's a concern or something about it that doesn't make sense. Gee, I need some help with this. That's what we're here for. That's what our radio show is about. So we invite you to introduce others to the show, to let them know that we're here and offering what we're offering. And ultimately, what we're looking to do is to take this understanding and these tools to every mind, heart, and being on the planet. And we appreciate you being on the team that supports us in doing that and holding the space, creating a different energy field on planet Earth, one that makes it safe for human life to show up. If you're in Birmingham, Alabama, come join us tonight, Unity Church, and tomorrow night, and then Saturday, we'll be doing Mind Shifters and Stillpoint Breathing. Patricia's going to be down at the Urban Namaste Center in Fort Lauderdale doing her support group tonight. And tonight, actually, we start a 10-day food fund forgiveness and work project at Heartland. Not too late to get in the car and show up for that in the next day or so if you want to. And then on the 23rd, we'll begin a 9-day Why Is This Happening to Me Again intensive, a 9-day teacher training. If you're ready to really crank it up, come and join us. Hope your day is blessed, and that you're creating the best year yet of your eternal life. Bring a stranger to the show. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present that internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.
AIN.com.